Hey, welcome everybody. We're back at it. Eat, Sleep, Archery. Going to do kind of a part two tonight to our hunting episode we had before. If everybody doesn't know this, which if you don't know, you should. Archery deer season is up and rolling. We've been seeing some good bucks out there in our local areas. But tonight we're just kind of talk about our gear, you know, that we carry. I get asked all the time, what's in your pack? Well, tonight we're going to go over that. And Ross is going to tell the world what he carries around in his backpack. But no, we got Matt here tonight.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Yeah, good old hunting partner, Matt. But yeah, so we're gonna go over that. What do you carry in your backpack? What is the most important piece besides your binoculars that you carry in your backpack?
Probably my backpack. No. let's see, my knives. I run about 3 sets of knives. You can never have too many, especially out there. I mean, if you're just gonna simply dress out a deer, just gut them and drag them back to the truck, you really don't need too much. But if you're gonna quarter out a deer and, you know, you hit a bone, it's gonna dull that knife real quick. So.
Right.
Got to have a good set of knives on you. But that's probably my most important thing other than a first aid kit.
So I don't carry a first aid kit. I'm kind of over it. I probably should. But I think the most important piece that I have in my backpack is a clear lawn and garden bag.
Oh, all right.
But hear me out. So you forget your meat bags at home or whatever. I can carry meat in it. I can make it into a poncho if I wanted to. I can pull water with it.
True.
I can do all kinds of stuff with it. So I think, yeah, a good sharp knife, and we all carry Havilons, but good sharp knife, an extra bottle of water, depending on the situation, and that damn trash bag.
Picking up everybody's shit out there.
Right. But you know, and I think the second thing, the most important thing that Matt carries around is his old switcheroo.
The old switcheroo decoy.
Old Deloria.
Yep. The ultimate predator decoy, man.
Yep.
Don't leave home without it.
Yep. Ultimatepredator.com.
You got to experience that for the first time this past weekend.
I did. You know, I walked up that hill with probably the loudest pair of boots anybody could wear.
Mm-hmm.
And
how was it? I didn't really talk to you too much after those deer went on the other side of the hill, but was it windy up there? Was it walking on potato chip kind of terrain?
It was definitely walking on potato chips. No, I mean, there was a slight breeze.
In your favor the whole time,
yeah,
I imagine.
Yeah, in my favor the whole time. But no, that was cool, and I always gave you a bunch of shit for that decoy, too.
Yeah,
I thought that was the goofiest thing in the world.
It helps. You know, I don't use it all the time, but you know, for that scenario that you were in, for those of you who have heard the story, Ross closed the gap about 160 yard, zero cover, no bush, no nothing. And the deer had clear line of sight of him.
The whole time.
And you closed 160 yards. I think you were, what, 40 yards?
I was 36 yards.
36 yards, and you had bucks stacked up on each other, so you didn't take the shot, which was good. But
yep.
Yeah, and I mean, after those bucks separated, when I was watching you, those bucks literally ran 30 yards over that hill and just
stopped.
They weren't running from anything. They just knew something was up. And
yep, and they got out of there.
Yep.
But, I mean, the season's still young, too.
Oh, yeah. Trust me, you don't want to fill your tag yet. Wait until mid to late December when them big bucks come into rut.
Mm-hmm. Because
all the deer we saw, they were thinking about it.
Tiny-ish.
They were thinking about it, but they really weren't in full swing.
Right.
You know, that one lead doe took off, which that 3x2 that you were putting a stock on, he went chasing after her, but they really weren't in full swing quite yet.
Yeah. Yep. So, good pair of boots, that decoy. Can you use it all the time? No.
No. You know, and there's some times you really don't need it. Like if you had cover in between, you know, you'd be able to close the gap. But those deer, God, that hillside was just so damn naked. There was nothing for you to be behind or crawl under or nothing. It was just a bare naked hill with four big bushes the deer were bedded under. That was it.
Yeah. Yeah, that was pretty crazy. But it was really neat to use it too. So I would say that that's a kind of an important.
And that last, and it was cool when me and Will were watching you. That last bush where you had nothing but open land, 150, 160 yards. When that buck finally noticed you, he actually started walking towards you like, oh, yeah, come on up here. Come group up with us. But that one lead doe kind of started doing her own thing, and he was already hot with her and kind of went that way. But hell, I think there had to have been over four or five bucks in that little group. Mm-hmm. All forks are better.
Yep.
Just freezer fillers, but
yeah,
still young, man. You got to get the meat and the garnish. Mm. Just wait until December, late December. It'll happen.
Right.
Tell you one thing I saw a lot of are javelinas. Holy smokes, did I see a lot of rats out there this weekend.
Have you?
Oh, my God. I mean, I came up on, we were walking back to go Glasses Canyon, and I looked up at this bull. I said, if I was an animal, I'd be in that bull. And we walked and did our thing. We came through that bull, and it was like an anthill, like stepping on an anthill. They were 10 yards, 5 feet, you know, just everywhere.
I wish I could have been with you when you went and did that.
Oh, I was doing dumb stuff. You know me. The last time me and you went scouting, we saw those pigs with the little ones. And I was doing dumb stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I grabbed that decoy and I started putting the stock on them. And hell, I gotta show you that video on my phone. I got within maybe 6 feet of this one bedded down. Didn't even know I was there. And you know how them pigs are. It's either fight or flight when you're that close. It's all fun.
Yeah. The coolest shot I ever seen on a javelina, and it was actually on film. I believe it's in the intro to Pigman series. Brian Kwaka, this man's name. Anyways, he shoots this javelina, and this javelina actually rears back trying to bite the arrow.
Oh, yeah. I believe it.
That was pretty cool.
I believe it.
So
you're going to get back out this weekend?
Yeah, it's possible. It's possible. I don't know what I have going on yet, but
a lot of deer, man. A lot of people filling their tags. Got to wait.
I know
you don't want to be done.
No, I want to be done so I can get ready for javelina because I got two tags.
I know a spot. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
I know last episode you're talking about that tent. Did you get it all set up? And
I got that tent. I haven't set it up yet.
And who makes it?
It's actually Guide Gear.
Guide Gear?
Of all places.
Just a little teepee?
It's 10 by 10 by 10.
Damn.
So, it takes up my whole living room.
I bet your wife was happy with that.
She was very happy.
Out of the living room.
Yep. But, no, just, you know, with everybody's got their minds on COVID and everything else, and in my heart, not in my opinion, but in my heart, I believe that going out in the desert or in the woods or going hunting is probably the safest place you can be.
Absolutely.
Right now, with the way the world is. So, I mean, that's how I feel. I talked to a lot of other people that feel the same way. They're trying to get out, you know, as much as they can. And I think our deer return was better this year, too.
Yeah, seen a lot. You know, I don't see, you know, I always saw a lot of little bucks, but I'm seeing a lot more deer that are outside the ears.
Oh, yeah.
You know, a lot of forkies that are got some potential.
Yeah, yeah.
If they make it.
Right, if they make it, but.
Well, you see the terrain they're sitting in. They're sitting on them naked hillsides. By the time you get out of your car, they already got
eyes
on
you. They're already
gone.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Have you seen any antelope lately?
Hell, not as much as we saw scouting for August.
Yeah.
I haven't really ventured out that too far out that way. I wanted to, you know, because how I got my spot set up, I'll hunt locally around here, the peacocks, you know, anywhere out there. You know, it's pressured. You get high up in the mountains where the deer just get pushed back. And I kind of save all my far stuff where me and you were seeing the antelope and whatnot. I like to save all that for later in the season when them bigger bucks come out and gather up them does for the rut.
Yeah.
That's when I'll start putting a lot of time out there.
Right.
Let's kind of see if if the mood strikes this weekend, if I might make my way up there towards Seligman or Flagstaff or something. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see how it goes.
Yeah, you know, my dad seen elk tracks in Havasu.
Really? Honestly, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
I mean, you got the Wallapies, there's elk in there. Wallapies filter into Chicken Springs. Chicken Springs filters into, oh, hell, what's that mountain that's down by Havasu?
I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, I don't know if it's, I don't know what it is, but honestly, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah.
I really wouldn't.
Yeah, it's the migration of animals. I was actually listening to a thing today. They were talking about a bear back east that in a linear line, actually traveled 7 states.
Just tracked it?
Yeah. I think it had a collar on it. It either had a collar on it or it was getting photographed the whole trip.
Yeah. You know, I've seen a couple cats up in the mountains locally here. Spot not to be discussed, but I've seen a couple cats and they got collars on them, big old honking collars, like almost looks like they're uncomfortable.
Right.
Big old long 2.5-3 foot antenna sticking out the back of them. But
yep. I don't get into that with fishing game. I don't.
They're doing it for a reason.
Yep. So. But yeah. Broadheads. Oscut broadheads. The most accurate broadhead out of probably 4 dozen broadheads I've shot in my life.
You definitely been around the block a couple times with broadheads.
I have. But the only way to know is to do it, just like that decoy.
Now, are you sticking with them now?
Yeah. Right, yeah, I'll stick with them.
All right.
Yeah. But, no, on a serious note, though, what I just said. Newcomers come in. Young guys come in. You know, they want to get a bow, whatever. You don't know until you try. And the whole point of that, just like that decoy. I thought that was the goofiest thing in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Never thought it would work. But I tried it, and it works awesome.
It buys you just enough time.
Yeah.
You know. You had the shot. You could have taken that shot 500 times, but you did the safe thing, especially shooting that VXR. I know how fast your arrows are going, and I know you got a lot of weight on the tip of that. So,
yep.
You know, shish kebab and $2 isn't probably as good decision.
It's not the greatest thing. I've seen it happen. I've had friends do it with rifles and not knowing what's behind them or can't see. Because
you know me, I'm a horn hunter.
Oh, yeah.
I don't mind passing up on a couple bucks. I don't mind having meat in the freezer. I'm looking for the meat and the garnish. And if you would have came off that mountain saying, hey, I got a buck for you.
Oh, yeah. But we don't do that here at Eat Sleep Archery. So.
No. We're good here.
But are you going to put in for antelope and elk?
Oh, man. You know, I really, really want to. But I don't know enough people to go on an elk hunt with me. And hauling out a 1,000-pound animal by myself just doesn't sound very fun to me. You know, I got this mule deer fetish where...
You only do it once.
Yeah, exactly. You only do it once, but... I love my mule deer. I fetish over mule deer. I love the way, just how smart they are and just their whole lifestyle that they have. I love mule deer. Just crazy about mule deer.
I want to shoot a goat. I've wanted to shoot a goat since I was 4 years old. Might be waiting a while.
Oh, but. Yeah. a buddy of ours, you know, he was telling me he just took a guy out on a guided hunt, on a ram hunt. He said he's been putting in for 45
yep.
years.
Mm-hmm.
He sent me a picture.
As a resident.
And he sent me a picture, and just the amount of people in the picture, I told him, holy smokes, dude, you brought the whole cavalry. You got an army. He goes, no, that's his whole family. I guess he's been putting in for a long time, and he wanted to share it with everyone. And
wow.
Knocked down a damn good ram.
Huh. Yeah, that's like a once-in-a-lifetime thing in Arizona.
Yeah. Don't they, like, break records, like, every year? Pretty close to it.
Pretty close to it, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen some dandies, man.
Yeah.
Out scouting for deer.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they live in the same area, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
I ran into a guy from where I'm from, up in Washington, Canada, Alaska way. And he said, yeah, just go out. He said, I'm just going to go out and kill a deer. I said, no, you're not. That takes time and effort.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, it's deer season's shaping up to be pretty darn good.
Yeah, it's a tag. It'll be a tag fill this year. I mean, I'll wait till the absolute last minute. And, you know, the spots that, the local spots me and you're hunting, you're seeing deer every day.
Oh, yeah.
Every day, and you're seeing a good number of deer.
Well, even the secret spots, you're seeing deer every day.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Now, am I going to find one that, you know, makes my eyes cross? That'll be another story. Got to one up the 4x5. Got to one up them, and it's hard. It could be done, but you're going to have to put in some work in this state. Oh, yeah. Not in this state, but this area.
Yeah. Yeah. Still thinking Nebraska.
I remember you telling me about that.
Still thinking Nebraska.
What pack are you running? Now that I'm really thinking about it, what pack are you running?
I have a Sitka Scent pack.
That's right. I remember it now.
And I kind of wanted to go through that too. So I don't use Sitka equipment. This pack was actually gifted to me, and it's an awesome pack. In my backpack, it's a Sitka Ascent pack. I have a Havilon knife. No, I have two Havilon knives. Mm-hmm. I have I run a cold steel fixed blade on my vinyl harness. Big misconception with that too. I'll get into it in a minute. Bottle of water, my good old trusty trash bag. A set of socks, just in case. I'll get into that in a minute. A ghillie mask is in there. A neck gaiter's in there. Scent eliminator deodorant is in there. And once in a while, I'll take the spray with me. Extra blades for my Havilon. And just some snacks and goodies.
Mm-hmm.
So, the big misconception with on your bino harness, with your knives. Guys, do it. I know cat hunters that have the marsupial attachment for a Kydex pistol holster. I carry a pistol everywhere I go. That's just me. But the whole thing with having a knife on your bivy, if you want it, run it. If you don't want to do it, don't run it. That's kind of how I feel about it. So, there's that. And that's just how I feel. I happen to have a knife that fit well there, so I used it. And cold steel makes great products. The other thing with cold weather gear, extra socks is awesome. I come from a place that it rains 186 inches of rain a year. That's great. I like having dry equipment.
Mm-hmm.
I like being dry. You're going to sweat. You're going to get stickers or cactus in your socks or in your legs. It's going to happen. I was talking to my dad the other night. And he said, wear snake chaps for cactus. The only thing is that they're too damn loud.
Yeah, I used to rock some brush pants, but once I put some money and invested in some Sitka gear, man, I just absolutely fell in love with it.
And obviously, everything's about money. Mm-hmm. And I know there's listeners out there that are going to get on our Facebook page and say, oh, I run Sitka and it's the best stuff ever. Okay, that's fine. If you can afford it, that's great. I got $3,000 into my bow, so maybe I went backwards. I don't know. But
I must have went all kinds of ways. I got a lot more. I got $3,000 or $4,000 invested in my bow, and another $3,000 in camo. I don't know which way I'm going. I'm lost.
Whole point is, you can listen to somebody talk and what they have and what they use, and maybe it works for them. Maybe it doesn't work for you. I don't know. But I love my equipment. I love my King's Camo. I don't have one bad thing to say about King's Camo. And for the working man, it's awesome.
Well, I sent you that video of you putting a stock on those buck. And just seeing that King's Camo with the terrain you had to work with, it did the job.
Oh, yeah. So, if it was catching, everybody be doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So
you definitely had some altitude stalking that buck too.
Oh yeah,
you were up there.
That was straight up.
You were up there.
That was straight up. But yeah, you know, I can go on and on and on and on and on about the mistakes I've made, and maybe I will in later podcasts. But I've said it before and I'll say it again. The only thing we want to do is teach, and teach the right way, so we don't have a bunch of guys going out either A, getting lost, or B, getting hurt, not knowing what they're doing,
mm-hmm.
or C, wounding animals and have them run off in the neighbor's yard. We don't want that. That's not what we do, and we don't want to teach it. So do you have anything to add to that?
No, just choose your shots. You did a good job this weekend, and ethics go a long way, man.
Oh yeah.
I don't know how many people I've met and, you know, shot with them on the weekends and, you know, went out scout and they seem like they're a good stick, and get out there and they're biggest yahoo on the neighborhood.
Yep.
You know, and just unsafe to hunt with, and just not my preferred bunch to hunt with.
Right. Well, another thing too, it kind of come, and nobody's perfect. I'm not saying that.
No.
But I rifle hunted growing up, and I rifle hunted to the point where your shots were less than 100 yards. You had to watch your buddy and know what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, same thing goes with a bow. I mean, I know a guy that can put 4 arrows inside of a coffee cup at 140 yards with his bow.
Me. Kidding.
No, it's another friend of ours, but I didn't believe him until he showed me, and he showed me, and it's just incredible. Can everybody do that? No, they can't, but it comes down to a safety thing, so safety and ethics go a long way,
mm-hmm.
and taking care of yourself, too. You know, I got into a spot this weekend where it was 32 degrees outside and felt like it was 8. And I didn't dress for it. And that was my fault. So.
Yeah, it was cold that weekend, huh?
Yeah.
And what was it, Sunday, when that little breeze kicked up?
Oh,
that
yeah.
That chilly breeze? Jesus.
Yeah, that was awful.
No, boy.
So anyways, guys, keep us updated. Keep us updated on what everybody's doing out there. And it, you know, we started a Facebook page, Eat Sleep Archery on Facebook, find us. Everybody on my friends list has invites to that. You guys can go on there and post pictures. We want to see pics. You know, so just be safe out there, guys. Let's beat COVID. A couple updates actually. Vegas shoot got canceled.
Oh, so did
Lancaster got canceled. So we need to keep everybody safe. I'm not going to hop on the COVID wagon. I'm not going to do it. A lot of things politically I don't agree with. But we're not going to go into that. So anyways, just keep everybody safe. Watch your neighbor. Take care of your hunting buddy. And more importantly,
put them on bucks.
Yep, put them on bucks. Spot for them. And give us some suggestions too. You know, get on Facebook and tell us what we need to go over. So we just want you guys to have a merry and safe Christmas. So thanks a lot, guys.